Hi there, this is Darren Spoo, pastor at First Baptist Church in Tulsa, and welcome to our weekly podcast. For more information about First Baptist Tulsa, check us out on the web, tulsafbc.org. First Baptist Tulsa has a simple mission, to glorify God in all we do. We want to make God look good because He is good. May God bless you with His goodness this week. One of my favorite things about the Star Wars series, in fact, we're doing this teaching series called The Dark Side, and it's based on the idea of the light and the dark side that we see in Star Wars. One of the reasons I love Star Wars so much is it is an endless source of trivia and interesting facts. And one of my favorite little interesting facts has to deal with Yoda. When Yoda was designed, there was an artist named Stuart Freeborn who was responsible for giving the look to this miniature green Jedi master. And in order to create the look of Yoda, Stuart Freeborn really did not have to look that far. He looked to his office wall. And there on his office wall was a large portrait of Albert Einstein. And what caught him about the image of Einstein was there was the look of wisdom. There was the look of a sage. And so if you put Albert Einstein up next to Yoda, they're kind of doppelgangers, aren't they? Especially around the eyes and the white, wild shock of hair. What Yoda carries is that look of wisdom, that look of being a sage. We're in this teaching series called The Dark Side, and we're talking about spiritual conflict. And I know you maybe get tired of hearing this definition, but it's so critical to everything we're talking about. There is a struggle that exists between the kingdom of darkness and the kingdom of God. And this kingdom struggle, this struggle that goes on between the kingdom of darkness and the kingdom of God, it takes place inside of us, it takes place around us in culture, and it takes place beyond us in the unseen and the eternal realm. And there is, of all the writers of Scripture, one who I would say is a sage, that he has that look of vintage wisdom. And when it comes to spiritual conflict, we must listen to this man. His name is Paul the Apostle. He was an early follower of Jesus and an early leader in the Christian community. And Paul understood spiritual conflict on all of these levels. He understood spiritual conflict as it took place within him. In fact, one of his most famous passages was a moment of self-disclosure in Romans 7, where he says, "I don't even understand myself. The good I need to do is right there. I just can't seem to do it. And the bad that I shouldn't do, that's the very thing that I end up doing. Who will deliver me from this body of death?" So Paul understood this internal spiritual conflict. He also saw it playing out in culture around him. Listen, in Paul's day, Christianity was on a collision course with the Roman Empire. Because to be a good Roman citizen, it was this twisted view of patriotism and religion. And to be a good Roman citizen, you had to say, "Caesar is Lord." Well, for a Christian, that wasn't true. Jesus is Lord. And it wouldn't take long for these two to collide. In fact, Paul would lose his life in this collision over the lordship issue. He saw this happening in culture around him, but Paul also understood the world beyond, the satanic, the demonic, the unseen, the eternal part of spiritual conflict. And that's where I want you to turn this morning with me to Ephesians chapter 6. Paul is absolutely brilliant because to talk about this unseen element, this demonic, satanic element of spiritual conflict, he uses a picture that everyone would understand. He lived in the Roman world, patrolled by Roman soldiers. And so he took the picture of a Roman soldier and their gear and their get-up and said, "If you want to live a protected life, here's what that looks like." I think if Paul were to preach this today, especially February 7th, 2016, he would use the get-up of a football player today. These images of the gear that they wear in order to be protected, and he would tell you to root for the Denver Broncos. But that's a little side issue there, okay? This is very picturesque as Paul talks about our spiritual protection. And here's the main thing I want us to get today. Here's the main point. It is not God's will. And this is based on Ephesians 6 and what we're going to talk about today. It is not God's will that you be weakened or wounded by Satan's attacks. Satan's going to come after you. If you're a friend of God, you're going to be his enemy.
And he's going to try to influence you. He is going to try to oppress you. He's going to try to work around you to destroy you. But you need to keep in mind, it is not God's will that you be weakened or wounded by the attacks of Satan. So here's what Paul says in Ephesians chapter 6, starting in verse 10. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you may take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against rulers, authorities, here's the unseen part, powers of the dark world, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God so when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you've done everything, to stand. Stand firm then, and here's the imagery, the belt of truth buckled around your waist, the breastplate of righteousness in place, feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Now from this whole passage, and we're going to deal with the imagery here in just a minute, but there's one command here, and it started off right at the beginning. Did you catch it? Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. It is not God's will that you be weakened or wounded by the attacks of Satan. We are to be strong. So, a couple months ago, my daughter was getting ready to go off to college, and she had a car that was a little bit run down, and I just imagined her going back and forth on the road to school in this rickety car, and I said, you know, let's get rid of that. I have an older car, but it's a little more reliable. I'll sell that to you, and then I'll just get something else for myself. So I passed down to her my Dodge Nitro. It's 8-plus years old. I love that car. That was the first car I had that wasn't a minivan, and as long as I can remember, God finally delivered me from the minivan era. So I had this Dodge Nitro, drove it around for years, loved the car, but my daughter's more important to me, so I gave her that car. And I said, you know, I'm going to look around, see what else I want. I just love the Dodge Nitro. I'm going to get another one, but they stopped making them in 2011. So I searched around for a good used Dodge Nitro. Found a 2011 that was exactly like my old one, except for the color. Just a different color. Exactly the same, or so I thought. So my old Dodge Nitro, I drive down the road, somebody cuts me off, I hit the horn, people shudder for miles around. Okay. This one, I didn't test the horn when I bought it. I was just driving down the road, somebody cut me off, I hit the horn, meet me. They literally took the horn off the Smurfmobile and put it in my car. I'm embarrassed. When I drive down the road, my kids have heard me say this, please nobody do anything stupid. You don't want me to honk at you. I don't want to honk at anybody. It's embarrassing. Meek, meek. You know. It is not God's will that you be weak. It is God's will that you be strong. And the word that Paul uses for this, in fact, if you didn't catch it, I want you to catch it now. Four times in this passage, he says, stand. Verse 11, against Satan's scheme, stand. Verse 13, when evil days come, stand. When you've been obedient and you've done what you're supposed to, stand. Stand firm then. Four times. We are to be resilient. It is not God's will that you be weakened or wounded by Satan's attack. By the way, when football players say hut, I don't know if they say that anymore in the NFL, but on the schoolyard it happens. Quarterback says hut. You know where that comes from? Comes from World War II, drill sergeants, football players picked up on it after World War II, when the drill sergeant would say, 10, hut, stand. So let's walk through this imagery. And here's what I want to do today. There are six elements of a Roman soldier's gear that we're made privy to, and that are images of spiritual strength. I've heard some sermons that have strained these just a little bit and maybe pulled some applications that really aren't there. We're just going to look at that characteristic. If you have these characteristics, you will be strong. If you don't, or if you have the opposite, you will be weak. Okay? So let's just look at these one at a time. First is the belt of truth. We literally need to wrap God's truth around our life. How do we do that? This is why we read the Scripture. In fact, I want you to look me in the eye. If you are not reading the Scripture on a daily basis, please do this. It's a way of bringing God's truth into your eyes, into your mind, into your heart, and daily having exposure with truth and reality. I encourage you over Lent this year. One thing I'm going to ask you to do over Lent is that we would read the Gospel of Mark together. Just read a chapter a day. If you do the math, 16 chapters, 40 days, you can still miss a lot of days and read through it twice. And I pray more than just reading about Jesus, you would meet the person who's in those pages and have exposure to truth. We get God's truth when we pray. Let me encourage you, when you run out of things to talk about in prayer, stop talking and listen. How might your life be different if you said every morning, okay, God, I'm listening. If you have something to say, now would be a good time. I believe God honors when we just take time to listen. And then community is a great source of truth. And we talked about this last week, that I have people that I respect enough who can correct me. We all get off base. But to have people who can speak truth into our lives. Why is this so important? This is important because the devil deals in lies. Jesus called Satan the father of lies. He says when Satan speaks, he lies. That is his native language. And so we must surround ourselves with the truth in order to be strong. So you remember the scandal last year, the Ashley Madison scandal, a website for married adults who want to have affairs. And here's the slogan that was on the website: life is short, have an affair. That's a half-truth. Life is short. But it's that last part of what you do with it that's the subtle lie. Life's short, just have a great time. No, life is too short to live with anything else but then complete integrity. We must surround ourselves with the truth, and we'll be strong. Here's the next piece of gear, the breastplate of righteousness. Now, this sounds like a real big churchy phrase, and it kind of is, but the word righteousness, all it means is right relationships. Listen to me, this is very simple. We are meant by God to have right relationships. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Love others as you love yourself. We are meant to have a right relationship with God and right relationships with others. What Satan wants to do is he wants to create distance in our relationship with God and create drama in our relationships with each other. He does a pretty good job at that sometimes, doesn't he? Even in the church. So what we need to practice, if we want to be strong and have right relationships, we practice repentance with God. When we fail, we acknowledge it, we ask forgiveness, we move on, and we practice forgiveness with other people. If you do those things, you will be strong. You will not be weakened or wounded by Satan's attacks because you'll be surrounded by strong relationships. So Don Henley has just come out with a new country album. I refer to him as St. Don Henley, but that's just me. Best song on his new album is called Pride. And there's one line in that song I absolutely love. You don't have to be right all the time, because you're not. We all mess up here and we mess up here. Oh, but practicing repentance and forgiveness, we are strengthened. So we have the belt of truth, the breastplate of righteousness. Let's go on to the next element. Feet fitted with the gospel of peace. Now, for a soldier, this is very practical. Shoes give good mobility and good stability. When you need to move, they help you move. And when you need to make a stand, they help you stand. So I've shared this before, but this just continues to baffle me. My wife and I will dress up. We'll go out for a nice evening. We'll get to a nice restaurant. We'll walk across the parking lot. I'll get her out of the car, open the door for her. Men, always open the door for your ladies. Open the door for her. We start hustling across the parking lot, and she'll slow me down. She'll say, Darren, don't walk so fast. These high heels, these shoes, aren't made for walking. That makes no sense to me whatsoever. Ladies, does that make sense to you? Men, does that make sense to you? Thank you. It's settled. Shoes are to give stability and mobility. I want you to hear this. You are meant to walk through life with peace. For those of you who are high anxiety people like me, you may not buy this, but you are meant to walk through life with peace. Now just stop and think about this. What do we experience when we experience the absence of peace? The absence of peace is when we feel the lack of something that we believe we need. This morning when I walked in, I met a family who lost their home in a fire. So there's going to be lack of peace right there because they're without a home right now. If you're without a job right now, there's going to be a sense of a lack of peace because you don't have what you believe you need is a job, right? What is the presence of peace? Listen to me very carefully. We experience peace in any circumstance when we realize Jesus Christ is enough. That's the good news of the gospel. That I can stride into any situation and I can stand there as long as I need to, and I can have complete peace when I realize that Jesus Christ is enough and He will supply exactly what I need at the right time. You are meant to live in peace. The belt of truth, breastplate of righteousness, feet fitted with the gospel of peace. Here's the next element, the shield of faith. Now, here's where I want to speak just a minute. I believe the shield of faith has a community aspect to it. Because a Roman soldier would have two shields, would have a short shield, but also a long body length shield. But you know what? They wouldn't be selfish. They wouldn't use that shield just cover themselves. They would angle it so that the shield would cover the two-thirds of them at the top and cover the soldier next to them at the bottom. But then the guy on the other side of them, he would be extending his shield around them as well. So to have the strength and the shield of faith, we need some other people to cover us. Because Satan is going to throw doubts at you like you wouldn't believe. We have the shield of faith. And in community, it holds. Now, what I really want to ask here is, who are the people who have strong faith so that when you're weak, they will help cover you? But what I'm going to ask is this. Who are the people that depend on your faith to cover them when they are weak? If you're leading your family, you need to pay attention. If you're a leader in any capacity, pay attention. What a reason to keep our own faith strong, not only for us, but for the protection of the people right next to us. Shield of faith. There's two more. Helmet of salvation. Now, what is salvation? Let's just be really basic about this. Salvation means that I have broken my relationship with God. I've sinned. I have let down that relationship. That relationship is broken. There's nothing I can do to restore it. But here's where God is taking the initiative. And in the cross of Jesus Christ, His death, burial, and resurrection, I am no longer guilty. I am free. I want you to listen to this very carefully. Salvation means that you are no longer guilty. But you know what Satan is going to do? He's going to try to make you feel guilty. How many of you have something from your past that you can't make right? How many of you have something in your past that you have not been able to let go of because there's nothing you can do to fix it? Satan's going to take advantage of that. And if you're in that category, let me tell you, you're not alone. I think Paul was in that category. Before he was a Christian, he hunted Christians. He put them in jail. He probably caused the death of Christ followers. That blood was on his hands. How did he ever move past that? I don't know that he did. But if you have something from the past, something that Satan wants to make you feel guilty about, I want you to know that that might actually be a spiritual advantage. Because every day you have a reminder and the opportunity that you laid down your life before an all-loving, all-knowing, all-forgiving God. You can't make it right. but He does. And you are free. And finally, there's the sword of the Spirit. Now, this is the only element in the arsenal that is an offensive weapon. Everything else is defensive. This is going on the offensive, and I will remind you yet again that when Jesus was tempted by Satan in the desert, He didn't argue, He didn't debate, He didn't discuss. He just stated the truth of Scripture and moved on. And I want to encourage you that if you have weaknesses in your spiritual life, know what they are, surround it with Scripture, and answer Satan with the truth when you're tempted. So listen, it is not God's will that you be weakened or wounded by the attacks of Satan, but that you be strong. Two more things I want to say briefly. If you're a leader, you are vulnerable. If you're the leader of your family, of your company, if you're a leader in your church, you are vulnerable. You are a target of Satan. And you have every reason to put on this full armor. Not only for yourself, because if Satan can get to you, he can negatively impact so many other people. So I've only had one experience like this in 20 years. This was 8-9 years ago. I was at a week-long speaking event. And again, I'd never had this experience before or ever since. At this week-long speaking event, there was just a sense of oppression that I could not shake. And so every night as I prepared to speak, as I showered and got dressed, as I got dressed physically, I also got dressed spiritually, I walked through and I imagined myself putting these things on. Why? Because I felt vulnerable. And it is not God's will that we be weakened or wounded by the attacks of Satan. Now, whether or not you're a leader, here's the second thing I want to tell you. The best thing you can do to stay strong is to keep moving forward. Whatever that next step in your relationship with God is, take it. Here's the illustration. And I told you last week, the best little book on spiritual conflict outside the Bible is John Bunyan's Pilgrim's Progress. It's about Christian. It's an allegory of a man named Christian, and he's walking forward in his faith. He comes to a place where he sees Satan coming at him. You can imagine the anxiety and the angst. He sees Satan coming, and he makes this momentary decision. Am I going to stand here? Am I going to go forward, or am I going to run? And then he realizes this, and he's dealing with the armor of the Spirit. He realizes all the armor he has is on the front. And so if he turns around to run, he makes himself more vulnerable by getting shot in the back. The armor we are given is in the front. This means you go forward. Be strong in the Lord and in His mighty power. And when all of life is done, stand.